Next is be the public comments. Anyone wishing to come to speak of anything from the public, please come forward. You're limited to 3 minutes.
Mr. Smith, you got it.
Seeing no one coming forward, we will begin our work session with the sign ordinance discussion.
Good evening, members of the commission. We were asked to look into various aspects of our sign ordinance, such as updating definitions of temporary signs and increasing size signage throughout the county. One area that we looked at, again, was for grand opening, and we decided this could be a form of special advertising. I believe this is what they do in Dinwiddie or Louisville. Goochland. This is from Goochland, and they classify grand opening, new management, and other types of signs as a sort of special advertising sign. Now, under their regulations, they were only allowed those signs to be up for, I think it was 10 days, and then they had to be down shortly thereafter. The way that I've written it here, we haven't sent this off to Fred for legal review yet, but the draft that we have here would have special advertising signs classified under temporary signs. Therefore, they could be placed up to 60 days ahead of the grand opening so people would know about it, and then they'd have to be taken down, I think, the 10 or 15 days afterwards. So because they'd be treated as temporary signs, they'd be considered exempt. Another issue we had was with churches. They often wanted to have multiple signs on their property, and under our current zoning guidelines, they wouldn't be allowed to do that. So this is one that we have from Dinwiddie County, where signs identifying municipal and governmental buildings, as well as buildings used for religious purposes, would be considered exempt from the sign ordinance as well. This would allow them to get the signage that they need, and it would be considered legal, because currently we have to give them exemptions for signs. Sign changes overall, we would increase the size from 20 in A1, R1, R2, R4, and mobile home parks. Business signs is what we were focusing on. Freestanding and monument signs would go from 24 feet potentially to 32 square feet in area, and then the height would be changed from 6 feet to 10 feet in height. And similarly for R3, as well as business and industrial, business signs would be changed from 24 square feet in area to 32 square feet for freestanding, and then 40 square feet for monument signs. And a height change again from 6 feet to 10 feet and 8 feet to 12 feet. This brings us more in line with what Louisa has. Finally, we were considering doing a Zion Urban Development Area sign overlay district, and the UDA is just encompassed by these boundaries here. So it's just all these parcels. We had thought about extending it to all of the community planning area, but that covers lots of areas that are also residential. And since most of our targeted growth seems to be around here, we thought the UDA would be a better area to have a more compact sign overlay district. So what we've changed here is we've gone from business signs. We're currently allowed to have one per parcel or one per shopping center, and allowed to be two if the lot fronts on two or more streets. Sign height has been increased to 32 and 36 feet in area, area of 32 feet and 36 feet, and height to 20 and 28 feet, again, for freestanding and for monument signs. And this just brings us more in line with what Louisa has. The language that we have here would say, you know, one sign per parcel, two if the lot fronts on two or more streets. That's the exact language that Louisa has. Our overall area for the sign, we have 32 square feet freestanding, 36 square feet for monuments. Louisa has something that's comparable.
What did Louisa have for the monuments?
For monuments, I think it was 32 or 36. So this just brings us closer into line with what Louisa has. Our sign height exceeds or matches what they've got here, 20 feet and 26. Comment from business owner Mr. John Nunley that was sent to the Planning Commission on January 25th. He says that his Better Living currently has plenty of land, 25 acres worth of undeveloped land, and the sign cannot even hold the names of all the businesses that currently exist. So how could that size sign that they currently have ever hold the names of businesses if the raw land is ever developed? And that's the type of thing that we tried to get into consideration in increasing sign sizes, say from 24 to 32 or 36 square feet. This is just a starting point. We do have a motion for the Planning Commission to initiate a zoning text amendment so we can do some more further research and present this before you as public comments. just want to get your feedback on this right now.
I looked at this, and although some of them look like they're increasing quite a bit, after looking at Louisa and that area and so forth like that, it's more in line with them. And a lot of our competition, especially in that Lyons Crossroads, would be with Louisa County. And myself, I thought all of these were pretty much in line where we should go.
Have we inquired to the business community like we had talked about, or is that a next step? I mean, is this sufficient to meet what they're saying they need?
So besides Matt coming out 2 months ago, spoke with Mr. Nunley and some chamber members about the opportunity to increase our sign package, and they were all on board. The only other feedback we got was from a business summit that we hosted last May. And that's what kind of initiated us to look into our current ordinance to see what we could expand on. So,
I mean, I thought in January we talked about getting some input from them. And the reason I say that is I'm sure they're all on board changing the sign ordinance because they've complained about it. But does this meet what they're looking for? Is this insufficient?
This is sufficient.
Okay.
You know, like Mr. Nunley has stated before, I think right now there's a couple businesses that he just wouldn't be able to put on unless they minimize the current signs that they have up now.
The reason I ask that is just something like 32 square feet. That's a sheet of plywood.
Sure.
That's one sheet of plywood. So that's not really, really big. But if business is comfortable, I'm great with them being as small as.
It is bigger than what we have now.
Which doesn't mean it's sufficient. Because what we have now is.
But adding the fact. The expanded regulations and designs what we're targeting. And right. Seems to be the businesses that Mr. Smith's been in contact with have been more in favor of loosening the standards.
Well, those folks in that area specifically would definitely benefit. The question will be, how long is it going to be until someone in another growth area says, well, we would like to have a similar sign? So that's one of the questions I think that we need to figure out is, should we incorporate this in all of our growth areas or start out with an urban development area?
We're going to make the urban growth area a overlay, right? So therefore,
well, we would defer to Mr. Payne as the form of how to award that, whether it's an overlay or in the sign regulations. But that is the number one priority, is to loosen it in the Zions Crossroads area.
Can we see that map again?
Sure.
So this is all new. Mr. Zimmer, also, yes. With the fact that these being able to have two different signs would make a difference too.
But
at different entrances?
Right.
That's the UDA.
Mr. Chairman, I got a couple questions if the commission will indulge me.
I will indulge you.
First question is, I noticed you got this dealing with the two frontage thing. You used two different words in there. One of them is street and the other one is public road. I like public road better because that's a more obviously defined term. And I'm thinking, the thing that occurs to me immediately was, we're talking about Louisa and all that. If you go up to the Walmart shopping center, I don't think that entrance road is a public road. Okay. So 15 is, but the other one's not. So that this wouldn't apply unless we defined it that way.
Okay.
So I think you need to think about that. And, I don't have any feeling much one way or the other. And that's a good example of one where you do have a shopping center that fronts on both 15 is the public road and then the entrance road. So I'm sure that's what you're thinking of when you're talking about this. I just want to make sure we got it defined correctly. So,
okay.
Would you put in there public road or entrance road?
Well,
or just use public road?
The language needs some tweaking because in some cases it says public road, in some cases it says street.
Okay.
And I don't remember what we've got as a definition for street, but I think it includes private roads as well. but just, that's something you need to check.
That's fine.
Second thing is, I understand the rationale and everything. What, other than the fact that Louisa does it this way, which might be considered not to be an endorsement, are you able to articulate a justification for these sizes?
Moved up the size to 32 as a minimum for most of them, as that was the largest size that we had. For example, in A1 and also in R3, B1, all the categories that you see up here, there was a sign that was allowed at 32 square feet. It wasn't a business sign. I believe it was like a subdivision sign, something like that. But there's a sign that was allowed at 32 square feet. And if our business community has an interest in having larger signs, I thought we can at least go with the largest category that we already have, or the largest existing sign size that we already have.
It wouldn't be a bad idea for you to sit down and see if you can, in your own mind, identify a reason for these numbers.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, it's the biggest.
It's bigger. It's the biggest that we've got. Yeah.
I mean, that's a reasonable thing, but it would be nice if you could say, you know, just for example, 32 feet is a sheet of plywood. That's perfectly true.
Is that a good reason?
Well, it's not a bad reason for a couple of things. Number one, it probably gives you some visibility, and I think visibility would be, you know, if you look at that, think of it in those terms, it would be helpful, because obviously a 32 square foot sign allows you to have bigger letters.
Sure.
Yeah.
The other thing is the height, and that is, and I don't have any particular feeling about this one way or the other, but I think you ought to have a rationale for going from 6 to 10 or from 8 to 12 or whatever this thing is. And in that regard, I think 12 is the highest you've got for anywhere except this new district. In that regard, one question is it high enough? Because depending on where you put it, it might be helpful to see under it so it doesn't block traffic, especially if you had it near an intersection. You might think about that. And finally, 30 feet looks like a really, yeah, that looks like an interstate. I mean, I think, again, you should do some.
Part of the reasoning is for that, some of the business inquiries we've gotten have those sizes as requirements for businesses that are located off the interstate corridor.
Away from the interstate?
Yeah.
I think that's a factor to consider, but not for a second would I take that seriously. And unless you think it makes sense, because, you know, for the last 40 years, I've been hearing people say, oh, our franchise only allows one size sign. And that's consistently a lie. That's their standard sign, but that doesn't mean they can't do something else. But when I first started practicing, the first case I was involved with dealt with a franchise. It was a Holiday Inn franchise. And they appealed to the BZA, and the BZA denied the variance, and their position was that was the only signs that Holiday Inn would let them have. And as soon as that, I don't remember how far it went, whether the court disposed of it or what, but when they finally got so they lost, miraculously they came up with another sign. And that sign is still there. It's nothing like the one they were asking for. So, again, I just suggest that you look at it and see if you can justify in your own mind why it'll be that height rather than lower or higher or this height or whatever it is. And again, I don't have any particular feeling about it except that it does seem pretty high.
Mr. Payne, how would you word something like when you were talking about an intersection so that you had an opening at maybe the bottom? How would you word that so that the actual sign itself starts here, but yet the actual ground or whatever, how would you do?
Well, I was thinking of it more as a practical measure, that you've got a sign that is, you know, typically people like to make them as big as you can make them. So if you said maximum height is 10 feet and it's 32 square foot sign, then it's almost certainly going to be 6 feet off the ground, because it's going to be, the top's going to be 10, and it's going to be 4 feet deep. So it's probably going to be 6 feet. That would, what I had in mind was to see whether that would work. And then I think, I don't remember whether we have a provision for making sure that it doesn't obstruct traffic.
Seems like that's more easily dealt with by making it be a distance from the road.
Well,
then it doesn't matter if it's on the ground or 5 foot up or 10 foot up. If it's further enough back from the road, a car at the intersection can see.
Back from the road.
Yes. Yeah, some kind of setback.
It has to be out of the right of way.
Sometimes the VDOT right of way is the ditch, so that might not be sufficient.
Frequently it is.
Yeah.
It may be that what we ought to have is a site plan provision that doesn't obstruct site distance.
Right.
So rather than having it, you know, we can, that way we've got two criteria. One is the absolute size, and the other one is the effect on the particular location. And that could be variable, and could be variable for exactly that reason.
Right. Some folks will want it on the ground, and if they do, and that works for them, as long as it's back, it still doesn't cause a problem.
Right. And it's going to depend, you know, maybe it's on a hill, or maybe there's a lot of vegetation, or it's a steep, a sharp curve, or you know, anything like that. So you might want to think about that. Now, my final comment is, what's the justification for varying with respect to religious activities?
We've received several inquiries from churches, Bible Baptist, Peter and Paul, and they want to have multiple signs on the premises, not just for directing traffic and stuff. That's already an exempt category. Bible specifically wanted to have, I think, two signs that stated the name of the church, because they're putting in two entrances, so they would have one sign at each entrance saying Bible Baptist Church. And under the regulations that we have, they allow one sign per parcel.
I can't tell you that I've done research on this issue, but that kind of raises a flag for me, because I could see an argument that this is unconstitutional because you're favoring religious activities over non-religious activities. I hadn't really given a lot of thought.
Did adding the public buildings and so forth in there with that, did that make any difference? It's not only for religious, but it's also public, municipal and government buildings or buildings used for religious purposes.
When the religious, the municipal and governmental buildings, I don't have a problem with, because that's not a suspect class. We do have establishment of government. That's not barred by the First Amendment. It's the religious thing that gives me a problem. And I can't tell you that it's unlawful, but it's something that I would have in mind a job from Mrs. Guidry on that. What my concern is, what about the guy that comes in and says, well, the church has got, you know, got signs plastered all over the place.
The Church of Walmart, is that what?
Exactly. I've got my, you know, Fred's Shoe Shop, and so... You know, Stewart, the Church of Stewart is over here and got, you know, five signs, and I can only have one. And that impresses me, is it raises a flag of, is that an establishment of religion that would be unconstitutional? So I just didn't know whether you had any authority for somebody other than, you know, with all due respect to Dinwiddie.
And we'll take a look at what they've got.
I'll tell you, I remember when I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals in the city of Charlottesville, we had a case involving a church, and they made the same statement, so we got to have, you know, multiple signs, and we got to be too close to the road and all this kind of stuff. And why? Because we have to identify the church. Well, everybody has to identify whatever his establishment is. But typically, people don't drive down the street you know, get up Sunday morning and say, I think I'll go out and look for a church to go to. You know, you're not picking the church by who's got the best sign on the street. That really isn't a very convincing argument to me. I don't have any, you know, I'm not going to tell you that I think that in itself is a problem other than the possible constitutional issue, but that's like the, Mr. Smith hasn't been around this issue long enough to know that the moment the county adopts these changes and everybody's happy with them, somebody's going to come in and complain about them. So I don't want that. I don't care what they complain about as long as we have a rational response to whatever that complaint might be.
Mr. Payne, for instance, say you've got a church and their main parking lot is here and auxiliary parking further down. Would there be any problem for them to have a sign there saying Fred's Church?
Would you do it for Barry's Shoe Shop?
I don't know.
I think that's the answer. If you would do it for the commercial activity or the, you know, headquarters of the Boy Scouts or, you know, the Dixie Little League, if you would do it for them, then it's not a problem doing it for the church. But you can't discriminate against the church, but I think you also can't discriminate in favor. So, or if you do, I think you have to have a good reason why you do it.
Could you do it for non-commercial uses instead of saying government and religion?
Well, that kind of, you could. The question, I haven't thought about whether that's a good idea.
I think you still have the same problem. You're creating a separate class.
Then you wouldn't necessarily be. You wouldn't have the First Amendment problem, question is, what's the rationale for that? You know, I will tell you that I'm very jaundiced on the whole subject of sign ordinances, but one of the things that I think is very important with a sign ordinance is to make sure that there's enough coverage that people can get where they want to be, whether it's commercial or religious or anything else, and not cause a traffic problem. You don't want to have the sign so small that, you know, the guy's driving down the street and he, you know, gets from you to me to the sign, oh God, I gotta turn here, you know, and you know, can actually become unsafe.
Is there
a lot of our religious institutions are located in culturally zoned areas of the county, and it seems that they're subject to almost regulations like a commercial entity would, but they are a little bit different than a commercial entity. So we were just trying to think of ways to reconcile that with the current ordinance.
Well, you know, one of the things, as you were talking, I was sort of going through in my mind, what do the churches look like? And I can't think of a church, it may be some, but I can't think of a church in Fluvanna County that's not obviously a church. It's like the whole building is a sign. So it's not like Fred's Shoe Shop where it's, you know, it's just an ordinary building. It could be anything.
Is there a way to figure some type of ordinance where there's that you can give exceptions for additional signing or on a case-by-case basis?
Well, the problem you're running into with that is that unless you can have a very carefully defined category of that, the Supreme Court is pretty clear that the only way to vary that is with variance. And variances are hard to come by.
So what about, say, for instance, in the summertime, and they're going to have Bible school June 12th through the 19th?
That's a temporary sign.
Temporary sign, and that wouldn't be any problem.
Right. Yeah, I don't see any problem with that because Fred's Shoe Shop could put up the, you know, sale on all men's size 8 shoes. be the same thing. So I don't see any issue with that.
Okay. In my mind, I'm thinking of a church that their property is on a corner. It's a huge piece of property. Okay, the signing is up on the one road in front of the church, but there may be no signing on that other road for somebody to know that there's a church there.
Don't we have a directional sign?
Directional, it's not the ordinance, but I don't know. I think they can only say, you know, like entrance here or exit only or one way. I don't think that would be able to say Baptist Church entrance here.
Or don't we have a sign that says something like Fred's Shoe Shop, 500 yards on the right?
Yeah, that was one my question I was going to ask, because another issue we had brought to our attention in the past 18 months was folks who have a business down a state gravel road, but this is a dead-end road, and they, as I understood it when it was discussed, they can't have a sign out on the main road that says Fred's Shoe Shop or Max Garage down here, and we made them take those, because they couldn't have an off-premises sign. That been addressed? Because that's a specific problem that was brought to our attention that maybe we need to address if it hasn't.
Has it been addressed in this particular iteration?
Right. Has it? It hasn't?
No, it hasn't.
Has not, okay.
Depending on the business, they can go through VDOT, Virginia Logos. You've probably seen the blue tourism signs. So if they qualify, they could apply for a sign like that that would go in the VDOT right.
But I don't think they're going to put a blue tourism sign on Little Creek Road for somebody. You know, that's what I'm saying. So there is
a business, and yeah. Right, how often they're open.
Right. So. I think that this particular one was a guy had a small special use permit for a body shop or a car repair or whatever on his property, and he had a sign out on whatever the main road was, and we made him take it down because that was contrary to the code. And maybe that's something we need to address, or maybe that's so. A problem so few times in the county we don't. It is something that was brought to our attention.
Yeah, I think with that first question you need to decide. You need to decide. You need to recommend how to decide. Is how much need is there for that? And then how do you solve that problem? Because you know if you're looking for Fred's Shoe Shop, Fred only works on hunting shoes because you can't walk that far without hunting shoes. You can't use any other shoes. Probably what's going to happen is you're going to get whatever advertising, whether it's on word of mouth or on phone or in your phone book or whatever it is, online.
Sure.
It's going to say Fred's Shoe Shop, 200, look for route 616, 500 yards down 616 from route 15. Does that solve the problem? It maybe does, maybe it doesn't, but that's the way I would go about thinking about it.
I would think you'd be able to do that, or at least look into that. Part of the motion for consideration, public comments. We can come up with some more information for all the other work sessions.
I don't disagree with that.
I think even, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, the Boy Scouts, one of the troops put up there, we're selling Christmas trees at an off-site location. We're selling Christmas trees down here. And that was a temporary sign, clearly, because they're not selling Christmas trees now. But that didn't. So at least in a couple instances, we've had problems with off-premises signs that I think we should at least look and address that.
No, I don't think it's a bad idea, but you got to consider. You know, we're thinking about the Boy Scouts and Fred's Shoe Shop and all this kind of stuff. But what happens when you come in and not Walmart, but Kroger's decides they can get this piece of land cheap because it isn't on the main road, and then just put up three or four of these off-premises signs? Is that what we're trying to accomplish? So if we do this, I think we ought to do it for specific reasons tailored to whatever regulation we have would be tailored to solving that particular problem.
Okay. Now, if they get permission to, from like VDOT to put up a sign, like he talked about, do they have to come to us and go through us also?
No, not if it's VDOT. But VDOT
what happened?
Do that.
I don't know how many of them they're going to authorize for Fred's Shoe Shop or something of like
no,
that.
VDOT's not going to authorize that.
But then they'd have to get from another landowner probably a way to put a sign on their property to do that too.
Yeah. Probably, although one in the example cited here, maybe you have some way that's, you know, Fred's kind of land poor and he's got 300 yards up the road, Fred owns it all. So it's his uncle or something. So that wouldn't be a problem. But I think what we need to do is anytime you're talking about designing an ordinance, you need to be able to rationalize in your mind why this is a good idea and why it should be limited however it's limited. So Fred's Shoe Shop needs the sign, Kroger's doesn't, but how do you justify that in terms of, maybe you do in terms of volume or location or availability of site plan review, you know, any of that sort of thing, but I think that's the kind of thing I would suggest, the thought process.
Well, we are next step,
yeah, and I don't disagree that, you know, this is not necessarily the draft that you would adopt. There's no reason you couldn't propose this and modify it as you go along.
I'm going to follow up on Mr. Payne's original comments about the sign size. When we first started talking about this 4 or 5 months ago, reviewing the current ordinance with 6-foot sign size, most of the feathered flags, we call them baby flags, Farmers Market has it. There's a barbecue joint in Brookhaven that has them flying 24/7. Most of those flags are 10-foot, so that was the standard rate. That's why the 10-foot went from 6 to 10-foot, and then the 40-foot for the monument signs. Mr. McManus from Max Auto, that was pretty much what square foot sign that he wants to put in up at the Starlight Business Park. So those were actual numbers that we did some research on. We didn't just pick numbers out of hat and say, hey, this would look good. So just want to comment on that.
What I'm going to suggest is you examine these ordinances, and that, like I said, I like most of them, but with Mr. Payne's suggestions, and then, you know, I see the need for the changes of these sign ordinances, but I can understand, Mr. Payne, that we should have in our mind a justification.
Let's put it this way. If I come in this courtroom and the guy in the black dress said, why'd you pick this number? It would be very handy to say, here's the thought process we went through, Judge. That's what I'm talking about.
That's fine.
Could we all still do this thing to initiate the text amendment?
Yeah, I think you can.
Is that something we do in a work session, or do we have to wait till?
I've done it both ways.
Okay,
other places
just making sure. You good with that?
You should wait 25 minutes.
And I'm asking you.
It's probably better to wait and do it in the regular session.
Okay, because it'll come up to be actually voted on in the.
No, but initiating it is
okay.
There's a specific procedure for initiating it, and it would probably be better to do that in the regular session.
We can do it under unfinished or new business.
Okay. I doubt that it's going to take a lot of time.
We beat it to death during the work session.
But just to be clear, we're going to come back with some suggested changes based on the commentary next month for more comments. And
so I'll bring that up in the unfinished business, because it is unfinished business, when we have our regular meeting. That was the only thing we had for there, our work session tonight. Is anything else, Mr. Stewart, that you wanted to bring up?
We're probably looking at some text amendment proposals in regards to home occupations and small home industries. We're wanting to get those more in line with what's going on out in the county, and maybe streamlining that process a little bit and creating different categories of intensity. We're probably going to bring a proposal to you in the next month or two on that, and also probably something in regard to how we bond our bonding policies and ordinances on subdivisions, some other things we're looking at, and that should potentially change to kind of codify some things so we don't have all these subdivision issues that have been plaguing us for several years now. But that's just some things in regards to future text amendments we're looking at.
Have we sent out the questionnaire as far as Columbia goes?
It's going out this week.
Okay, thank you.
If it's not went out already,
it's going out this week.
Well, if there's no more business in the work session, I will adjourn, and then we'll reopen our regular session at 7 p.m. Now 7 o'clock. Call of the regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Planning Commission for March 7, 2017 to order at this time. Our first business is the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First is our director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few items to report since our last meeting. The Board of Supervisors approved ZMP 1606 Wilson Ready Mix and ZMP 1607 Rezoning for Foster Fuels, and also SUP 1612 in regards to Foster Fuels, and also conservation easement in regards to Hotel Street Capital. That's all I have to report this month.
Thank you. Now we'll have our first of two public comment sections for the night. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on anything other than the item that's on our agenda, the site plan tonight, may come forward. You'll be limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the public comment section at this time. And now we will talk about the minutes from our January 25th, 2017. Does anybody have any comments or a motion about the minutes from our January 25th meeting?
I make a motion to be approved.
I have a motion from Mr. Johnson that the minutes be approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I have a second from Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye. 4-0, one absent. We have no public hearings tonight, no presentations, but we do have a site development plan, SDP 1619, Virginia Electric and Power Company Amendment. And Mr. Robinson will talk about that at this time.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I'm going to give a brief presentation for a site development plan request from Virginia Electric and Power Company. It's SDP 1619. So this is a request to amend an already approved site plan, which was identified as SDP 1512. This request is considered a major amendment by the zoning ordinance due to a slight increase in the amount of land that's covered by their site plan. So for that reason, they've had to go through this process. The properties, as you'll see on the map, they're zoned A1 and I1. They're located within the rural residential planning area. Just some brief history about this site. In 2013, a site development plan was approved to convert Bremo Power Station from coal-fired power to gas-fired power. And as a result of that conversion, in 2015, a site plan was submitted to close some of the coal combustion residuals impoundment ponds on the property that were associated with the coal-fired power. So this request is, the current request is related to that site plan that was approved in 2015. There has been some slight amendments, as you'll see described in some of the slides coming. Overall, the proposed amendment increases the site area from 284.045 acres to 285.665 acres. Just to show you where this project is located, you can see its proximity to the James River and the county line, as well as Route 15 to the west. So Route 15 is here, and Remo Road travels the site, adjoins the site here, and the property runs somewhere between this point and over here. And as you can see from the zoning there, most of the area is zone A1. The gray represents some of the industrial zoning that's on the property. And this is an aerial view, a closer view of the property. The Bremo Power Station and the ponds in question. There's three ponds here, here, and here. This pond is known as the West Pond, this one as the East Pond, and this one is known as the North Pond. Just a photograph of what the North Pond looked like at the time of the original site plan approval. And this was what the West Pond looked like at that time as well. This was the original summary of what was approved with the current approved site plan. They were going to close the West Pond, cap and cover the North Pond, cap and cover the East, the dry portion of the East Pond, and repurpose the East Pond as a stormwater runoff pond, as well as a couple of other things that were proposed. The project has been revised to close the west and east ponds by removing the CCR material. They're going to excavate and remove the ash. Formerly, the east pond was going to be capped, but now they're going to actually excavate that pond and relocate that material to the north pond. And then the east pond is going to be repurposed as a stormwater management pond instead of a runoff pond. That's the primary change. So this is a rendering of what the property will look like after the project is complete and the ponds are closed. So again, this is the west pond. Most of that's going to be closed, and a portion is going to remain as a waste pond. And then you have the east pond here, which is going to be repurposed as a stormwater management pond. And then the north pond is going to be closed and capped. So to conclude, this is a request to amend an existing approved site plan. It appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. If approved tonight, then they will just need to submit a final site plan for final approval. And based on this, staff would recommend approval of this request subject to the four conditions that are listed in the staff report. So I have on the screen a sample motion for your use. And just for information, the motion references the parcels and tax map numbers that are in attachment A. So I also have that on the slide just for reference. There's 20 parcels associated with this project. And that concludes staff presentation. I can try to answer your questions you may have, or and I will also note that some representatives from Dominion Power are present this evening as well.
Because of the conversion to natural gas, there will be never be any additional ash to, once this is completed, there won't be any more.
I believe that's correct.
Will there be any kind of other byproduct from it turning from coal to gas? What would the waste be from that? Or would there be any waste, I guess is a better question.
Is that in reference to the West Pond?
Yes.
I'm going to defer to the applicant on that.
Okay.
Applicant, come forward.
Thank you. Good afternoon or evening, Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is Andrew Norfolk Golder Associates, project manager and engineer on behalf of Dominion. Question referring to future waste streams from the power station. The repurposing of the West Pond is to convert it to a low volume waste pond. Permitted under VIPDES, the new repurposed low-volume waste pond will collect station runoff from impervious areas around the site, bearing clean water, additional water waste streams from the plant, primarily acetylene pond.
What kind of runoff?
Stormwater runoff, primarily. Any other cleaning, washing, station. So that'll be pumped to the west treatment pond. The pond will act as a settling pond. That water will then be discharged in accordance with the station's VIPDES permit.
No other chemical, anything else?
No.
Any more questions for the applicants? Thank you. If there's no more questions for Mr. Robinson or the applicant, we need to discuss it. I have a look at it and it looked like it meets the qualifications, and I don't see any real problem with it. And I understand what they're doing after reading all these pages. So I don't have any problem with it.
I think if anything, it's a lower impact. It's a better solution than the one that's already approved. So doesn't seem to be a reason to look at it too hard.
They've worked to mitigate
what's there.
Anybody else have any discussion? If not, do I have a motion?
Sure. I move to approve SDP 1619, a request to amend SDP 1512 for the closure of coal combustion residuals impoundment ponds and increase the site area to 285.665 acres of the tax map and parcel numbers in Attachment A, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report.
Have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Gaines, second. So I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, one absent. Thank you. We didn't have anything actually on our agenda or additional, but we've decided in under unfinished business, we wanted to talk about presenting a sign ordinance. This is about directing the staff to initiate a zoning text amendment. Do I have a motion concerning this, as we've had previous discussion?
Do I have to read them all today? I'll take it. I move that the Fluvanna County Planning Commission direct staff to initiate a zoning text amendment to amend section 22-15 sign regulations of article 15 sign regulation, and to also amend section 22-22-1 rules of construction definition of article 22 definitions, to amend the sign ordinance and associated definitions, and to schedule a future public hearing for formal Planning Commission consideration and recommendation to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer concerning the zoning text amendment. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a motion by Mr. Zimmer, a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, one absent. The next thing on the agenda tonight is our second of two public comment sections, which members of the public are given 3 minutes to come forward to speak to us about anything about county business, planning. Anyone wishing to come forward at this time. Seeing no one coming forward, I will end the public comment section. And if there's no objection from anyone, we will adjourn at this time at 7:15. You still hold a record.
There you go.
That motion just rolled out the comments.
Especially that last.